guys would call me and have me come back and preach. I appreciate it. It's not very often a young preacher like myself gets a call up from a church and ask them to come and preach their youth jubilee. It's not so often a phone call like that comes my way, so I want to thank Brother Pastor Gilbert, and I want to thank the church for having me, for loving on me. I know you guys pray for me, and I appreciate it. And trust me when I say it does not go unnoticed. I realize how bad things could get, and I also realize that by the prayer, from the prayers of saints, of friends, and family, from all the churches I've been to, is the only reason I make it. If it were up to me, I'd quit. That's the way it is. The way I am. I'm when hard times get, I get discouraged. I do, and it's the prayer of friends and family that get me through. And I wanna thank you guys for that. I wanna thank you guys for having me preach in front of one of my favorite preachers right here, Brother Kenny Baldwin. Me and my friends have been talking about it. As a teenager, I listened to this man on a weekly basis. He's somebody I looked up to as a young person, and not to glorify a man or anything like that, but you've been a blessing in my life. I know we've met a couple times. We haven't talked much. You don't really know who I am, but you've had a direct influence on my life, and I want to thank you for that. Let's go ahead and we'll get started in this message. Mark chapter 5, number 5, right here is one of my favorite chapters to preach out of. There's so much in this chapter that you can preach out of, and it just seems like the more you read it, the more messages come to your mind. I'm nervous. All right. Mark chapter number 5, we'll start in verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body, and she was healed of that plague. Let's jump down to verse number 35 for the sake of time. It says, While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. Brother Michael Shane, could I have you open us in prayer, please? Amen. Now, what I want to preach to you is somewhat of a question. Somewhat of a question right here that says, Why trouble the master? Why trouble the master? And the short answer to that question would be, it's really no trouble at all. Amen. It's really no trouble at all. In fact, if you want things in your life to go the right way, two things need to happen. And those are my 2 points. First thing that needs to happen, you need to get a hold of God. Amen. You need to get a hold of God. Because nothing that you can do in your own power will fix your situation. Yeah. Think about it. Jairus, we have Jairus here who gets up and he leaves his house. He leaves his little girl behind. He goes across town and he bows at the feet of Jesus. Now here's the thing. Jairus knows who he is and we know who he is, but that crowd did not know who he is. So to them, he was just some imposter. He was just some imposter. But what we have here is a man who went across town and bowed at the feet of Jesus. But he's just not some common man. You see, the Bible here says that he was a ruler of the synagogue. A ruler of the synagogue. You see, Jairus had power. He had prestige. He had authority. He wasn't just a common man. The Bible also says there was also a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. The Bible says she had suffered many things of many physicians. She had seen every doctor that she could see. She had spent every bit of money that she had to spend. And what we have here are two people who probably have never met in their entire life. They're two people in two different places in their life, having different stories, having different backgrounds. But there's one thing that they got in common. They've got a mountain that they can't climb. They've got an ocean that they can't swim. They've got a desert that they can't cross. And they came to the same realization that what they needed to do is get a hold of God. Jairus, he had power, but not enough power. She had money, but not enough money. He had religion, but not enough religion. It was a moment it clicked in them that it's God or nothing. It's Jesus or nothing. The Almighty or nothing. You see, what happened was is their trial, their need, their adversity, it didn't drive them from God, but it drove them to God. Now these, the Jairus and this woman, they weren't your modern day Christians. They weren't your modern day Christians, because most Christians that I've come across, if they had trials like that, they'd fall out of church and be gone for who knows how long. They'd be gone for who, and I'm trying to tell you right now that staying out of church, I'm going to come down here and preach to you guys, man. Staying out of church, not staying in your Bible, not reading and not talking to God, ain't going to solve a thing. It isn't going to solve a thing. You might be in here tonight physically, and your heart could be very far from the things of the Lord. And you might remember a time when it was real. You might remember a time when you were living right. You might remember a time when those distractions that were in your life, you had thought you got rid of them, but here they are right in front of your face once again. There was a time when you were living for God, a time when you were fired up, and you're sick, you're looking around and you can't figure out how to fix it. You try to power your own way through it. You try to lie your way around it. You try to hide it from your mama and your daddy. You try to hide it from your preacher. You try to hide it from your friends, but you can't hide it from God. You might try to hide behind the title of Christian, but it doesn't matter. When you're not focused on God, you're focused on the wrong things. And there's going to have to be a time when you realize that you're going to have to get close and get a hold of God. Get a hold of God. I believe nations have been changed tonight. I believe nations have been changed because somebody got a hold of God. I believe churches have been revived because somebody got a hold of God. I believe drunken daddies have gotten sober because somebody got a hold of God. I believe a wayward young people have found their way back home because somebody got a hold of God. I'm going to say that one more time. I believe wayward young people have found their way back home because somebody got a hold of God. I've got two people in here, my parents, they prayed for me growing up. And there were times as a teenager when I was just thick-headed. But this somebody got a hold of God. And I stand before you tonight called to preach with this great opportunity because somebody got a hold of God. I believe sick bodies have been healed because somebody got a hold of God. I believe broken families have been mended because somebody got a hold of God. I'm glad tonight that He is a God that you can get a hold of. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He is the Almighty God. He is the able God. But can I remind you tonight that He is an accessible God. Which brings me to my second point. He's the God that can be gotten a hold of, but He's the God that can get a hold of you. Amen. Brother Pope, if you want to be used of God, He's got to get a hold of you. He's got to get a hold of you. I'm glad that when we get a hold of God and God gets a hold of us, the situation is going to change. The situation is going to change. Jairus comes to Jesus and he says, I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed. And she shall live. Jairus says, the situation's too big now. The situation is too bad now. It's out of my hands and I'm placing it in yours. Because there's something about God's hands. There's something about God's hands. Brother Kenny, I know we don't know each other very well. We've met a couple times at different meetings here and there, shook hands. But if you ask anybody who knows me in this building, they will all agree, I am competitive. Yeah. I am competitive to a fault. Confessing my faults to you guys, church. I'm competitive. I like to win. You ever hear that stupid question? Do you guys want to play to win or do you guys want to play for fun? To me, that's the same thing. Who has fun losing? What kind of sense does that make? I'm competitive. I like sports. I like to play. If it's any kind of competition, it doesn't take a lot of talking to get me involved. My favorite sport is basketball. Most of you guys know that. I love basketball. But it's not just basketball. I'll play any type of game. I tried golf over the Christmas and over Christmas break and I enjoyed myself. I like any type of game and I'll even sit around and make fun of people who play pool way too seriously. You see, if you put a basketball in my hands, I'm gonna want to win. I might make a couple shots. And there's a chance we could win a pickup game of basketball. But if you put a basketball in Michael Jordan's hands, you know what you get? You get 6 championships, 5-time MVP, 10-time scoring champion, and some shoes to match. You put a football in my hand, and I might just be good enough to throw an interception. I'm not good at football. I said I'm competitive. I didn't say I was good. But if you put a football in Peyton Manning's hands, you know what you get? You get 2 championships, 5-time NFL MVP, and a list of records to break. If you put a bat in my hand, I might hit a double in our church softball league back home. But if you put a bat in Miguel Cabrera's hands, you know what you get? You get an AL Triple Crown winner. Hey, if you put mud in my hands, I'm going to make a mess. But if you put mud in Jesus' hands, yeah, the blind are able to see.
That's right. Yeah.
If you give me some bread and some lunch meat, I might make you a sandwich. But if you give 5 loaves and 2 fishes to Jesus, over 5,000 souls are going to be fed.
Yeah.
If you put nails and a hammer in my hands, I might get around to hanging those pictures and shelves I told my wife I would do. But hey, if you put nails in Jesus' hands, you get salvation and eternal security and everlasting life. If you put a situation in my hands, I might hurt you. I might even hurt myself. But here in Mark chapter number 5, you'll see that there is nothing beyond the ability of God. When a storm rises up, he's got that handled. When somebody's full of the devil, he's got that handled. When somebody's got a disease, he's got that handled. And Jairus might not know it at this point in his life, but when it comes to the very grips of death, he's got that handled too. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse 1 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." If you're in here tonight and you're saved, you were quickened. It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter where you came from. Because at one point, you were in the tomb. At one point, you were in the tomb. Hey, young person, if you were raised in church, your tomb might be a little prettier than the person sitting next to you. It might look a little nicer than the person sitting behind you, but you came from a tomb just like they did. You came from a tomb just like I did. Furthermore, hey, young person, if you're saved and you're out in sin and you're out still hanging out in those tombs like the maniac of Gadara, don't you think it's time to get up and get out? Don't you think it's time for you to let go of that sin that's been holding you back? Don't you think it's time? God's telling you to get out of that tomb and you just sitting there all day long, sitting up there crying. Why? Because things aren't working out. Well, why don't you get out of the tomb and get a hold of God? And if you're in here tonight and you're not saved, or at least you don't know that you are. Why don't you just get a hold of God and let God get a hold of you? Dead, trespasses and sins. But here in verse 36, Jesus says, be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid, only believe. Look, I'm not going to say that I know what everybody in this room's been through, because I don't. But it wasn't too long ago that I was a teenager. And I understand that sometimes all you've got to hold on to is your hurt. Sometimes all you've got to hold on to is the anger. Why don't you just let go and let God take care of it? Why don't you just let go and let God get a hold of you? Why trouble the Master? Frankly, because He's the only one who can make it right. Amen. Be not afraid, only believe. Amen. Jairus was standing near Jesus one day. Back home, his daughter was slipping away. Then one of his servants came to him and said, there's no need to ask him, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the Master when all hope is past? Why trouble the Master? Why even ask? Well, I've seen compassion in His loving eyes, and that's why I trouble the Master. 'Cause I know He makes dead things rise. If you've been praying for one who is lost and you've never seen them look up to the cross, years may be passing, doubt presses in, asking this question again and again. Why trouble the Master when all hope is past? Why trouble the Master? Why even ask? Well, I've seen compassion in His loving eyes, and that's why I trouble the Master. 'Cause I know He makes dead things rise. Be not afraid, only believe. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank You for